This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. Before this week's episode, we're sending some love elsewhere in our department. All Songs Considered is the place where Bob Boylan and Robin Hilton put you on to their favorite new and upcoming music. And once in a while, they have me on to talk about rap songs. You can find new All Songs episodes every Tuesday at npr.org/podcast. This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Jean Gray.
What up, Jean Breezy?
What's going on?
It's good to have you. You know, I was looking in my notes, and we're 364 days from the time I thought we were doing this interview with you.
Is it exactly?
Yeah.
Because that, really?
Really.
Oh, that's perfect then.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I've put out 20 other albums since that exact day. So, you know, we have a lot more to talk about. I specifically did it so that we would have more to talk about.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're thinking of us. That's your gift to us.
It is. It was specifically my gift to you guys. So, yeah, you're welcome.
Which is the thing you that you have put out in that time period that you least want to talk about?
I don't know. I don't have any of those. I'm okay talking about anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you most like to talk about?
Maybe the Underneath You video.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
That was fun. I haven't seen this video.
What?
I'm sorry.
It's fun. You're like a combo of Tina Turner and
Do I need to watch it like right now?
Probably.
And like Rick James a little bit.
What? Thank you.
And
that is true.
There's a lot of sequins.
There's a lot of sequins. There's crawling.
And
there's rose petals.
Beyonce's mom a little bit.
Yeah, that happened.
Little Tina. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd kind of been watching a bunch of public access shows.
Okay, yeah. I remember those.
Yes, it was, and, you know, talking about a lot of New York things, and that was really something that I used to watch a lot of as a kid, these great public access shows that used to come on, you know, all the way up to, like, they were doing, like, Spick and Spanish, I think was probably the last thing I remember.
Spick and Spanish.
That is throwback. But they always had these great musical guests and these terrible, just superimposed pictures. But it was such a great, like, freedom of... It was, you know, YouTube before YouTube.
And, it was podcasting before podcasting.
You could do whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah. And so they were different in the different boroughs.
Yes.
Too. I like that.
Every borough would have their own kind of thing going on. So it was... definitely a nod to that time, and doing the song, I was like, you know, it feels like it comes from that time. It felt like, and I was like, so we have to do this as a band, so we got to be this like ridiculous, just like a ripoff Prince and the Revolution, which is how we came up with the Everybody's Pregnant. We've actually been playing shows. People keep booking us, not understanding that we're not an actual band. So the last
thing,
someone was like, well, you guys can do a 45-minute set. And I was like, okay, let me try to explain this again. Although two of the members of the group, Dane and Anna Wise from Sunny Moon, and amazing, and musicians and singers. Kwale Chris, a producer and MC and singer, and then Don Will, also a producer and rapper. So we all separately do our own things, but we don't play any of those instruments, except for Dane, who plays the saxophone randomly. So it's been interesting.
You could make money doing that on a sense that you don't have to be there. You just send some people. Like, find a couple of very close, you know, doppelgangers, whatever.
We've actually played shows now.
Oh, you doing?
We're just doing them. We're like, but we can only do one or two songs, but that's it. We'll stretch them out. So we'll jam out. Yeah, we can jam out for a very long time. And everybody has a great time.
I like that EP a lot.
Thank you.
Wasn't sure what to expect. And it, like, when did it drop?
November, I believe.
November, okay.
Yeah.
It just hit me at, like, exactly the right time.
Good.
That is the one where you talk about being 36? Is that
see, no, it's okay. You can blend albums because they're so close together. That was Genie. But Genie and Number 5 are very similar in both in a kind of a way.
Genie is the heart.
Yes.
Okay, that's my
and
fault.
You never really knew what to expect around that time. And I was kind of like playing around with that whole idea. Like, I can pretty much do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just, I don't know. You might get a rap song. You might get a Prince tune. I don't know.
When did you get to that point where you felt like, you know what? Not only can I do whatever I want, but I'm really going to do whatever I want.
Okay, can I take a second?
Yes.
Because I wrote this exact question down, but this is how I phrased it. When did you run out of fucks?
Same
thing.
I think I was on my way there, probably about 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom passing in August. And I was scheduled to do the Afropunk Festival for the first time, like 2 days later. And everyone was like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. I was like, yeah, I kind of do. And I think it was really the, I flew back to South Africa the next day and then, you know, dealt with everything else. But it was really a catalyst into don't wait for anything. That was it. I was probably at about negative 20,000 fucks.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was it. And since then, it's just decreased. Mm. My level of fucks decreases.
Right.
Every day.
So with the, you know, don't wait for anything, do you feel more restless now?
No. I think I was really restless for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard to wait to have to do stuff,
mm-hmm.
whether it was wait for a release date or, you know, wait for people to plan tours or just, you know, wait for technology to catch up to something that I wanted to do in my mind. No, I feel, but I should probably sit down. Is what I need to do for a little bit, for a second, but it doesn't really happen.
So is that translating into more just going with whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm happy with the point where I am, where someone's like, hey, can you come do a set on my show? And I'll have to call back and be like, wait a second, what set? I don't know what you asked me there to do.
Hmm.
And they're like, I don't know. Do whatever. So that's kind of pretty much where I wanted to be. And I'm like, well, you know, by whatever, do you mean like show up and read text messages? And they're like, yeah, no, fine. I'm like, okay, good. I'll do that. And maybe I'll do a song. I don't know.
Do you find that since you ran out of fucks, everything that you make is like better?
I don't necessarily know if it's better. I know it feels more free.
Mm-hmm.
More free. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be better at the time. I think there's a lot of stuff that maybe I did last year that I was like, eh, I don't know what I'm doing, or I didn't really love it. I didn't fall in love with it. And then I came back to it this year and I'm like, oh, okay, I get where I was going with that.
Okay.
It requires a certain other amount of discipline that looks from the outside either as if I'm on Adderall or it's everything's just haphazard. And I'm like, no, I have a very set plan with very set goals. Mm. I know exactly what I'm doing and exactly when I need to get it done by.
Mm-hmm. I think that you're superbly creative, like on some Duke Ellington, like Ella Fitzgerald, like Prince, you know, there's few, like Shakespeare, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, interview.
That's a nice little Mount Rushmore right there.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm just wondering, because there's so much that, you give so much, you really do.
Sometimes a little too much.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, yeah. I don't want to speak for you. I'm like, yeah.
from the distance,
I do see things. I'm like, but, you know. Have you ever created? What's the pressure of creating?
I think that's the only.
Having to create?
That's usually what works best for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good at starting, like, a project, like, a month or two in advance or anything. I don't even, let's just do rap-wise, I've never written anything ahead of time. Mm. Like, I have to write directly before I record it. That's it. So I'd absolutely work best under pressure. And I think for me, like, if there isn't anything there, I create situations and deadlines where I'm like, oh, got to put out an album tomorrow. And everybody's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. One, because I can. And trust me, it'll be great. You'll love it. You're not going to know that it took me a day. And then you're going to be like, no, it didn't. Because that sounds crazy.
How many takes did it... Hold on, I got the title right. Wait.
Oh, I'm so curious.
How many takes did it take for you to complete Put the Money in My Hand?
Oh. It didn't initially start out as a duet. That's the only reason it took longer. But it took about 20 minutes. So, and it also because I kept laughing.
That's why I want to know.
I was laughing every time I would finish a riff. I was dying laughing, and I had to step out. And I kept coming back in and being like, this is going to be my favorite song from the album because it's ridiculous. Probably about four or five.
That's
each
it?
One, yeah.
Oh.
Because it's my Michael McDonald and, you know, nameless R&B singer duet.
If I am at a store and I pay cash, put it in your hand, then could you please, when you give me the change, could you please put the money in my hand? It's just that I had my hand out in still just threw it down.
I know that we could be a better race if we started.
Maybe started
with you.
With you.
Put money in my hand.
That's hilarious.
I really love that song. And then I fell asleep with it on repeat that night. Because it's kind of Disney. It's got a Disney feel. It's very Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
So it was I was going either Peebo Bryson or Michael McDonald, just that kind of. And then I was like, I don't even know how to sell this to people. And I kind of wished it was longer. And if I had more time in my life, I would record an entire album with just those characters. Just a super great R&B album.
I think maybe the people want that.
I want that really bad.
Don't give them too much.
Come on.
I've been wanting to do, I was like, you know, it would be the best album ever if Michael McDonald and Anita Baker did an album, because you wouldn't understand a word they were saying for the whole thing. It's just...
Michael McDonald is such a thing that, like, my white friends have no idea.
Really?
Like, he is a white dude that is, like, invisible to the white people.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh. I'm serious.
No, I guess we did kind of draft him.
Yeah.
I guess that happened. And it happened really early. It mm-hmm. happened in mm-hmm. Doobie time.
Mm-hmm.
And he really blacked them up, too. He did. There was a lot of, you know, those different gospel-y chord changes and tones that he brought, and they were much more Roxy folksy before.
Yeah.
Before that.
Was it the What's Happening episode? Weren't they on
Yeah,
What's
which
Happening?
Doobie you be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that me?
That no. is you.
I didn't do anything.
Wow, that is so rap
happening.
Wow.
My iPad is just like, yo, I'm living.
It just wants to listen to. Is this Mobb D?
It's,
what is this?
This is Prodigy.
Like, I love Prodigy. That was me. I was just sitting here and I was like, man, I really want to listen to some Mobb Deep. But, oh, good, Prodigy. No, this is good. I haven't listened to this one.
Yo,
he's one of my favorite MCs ever.
It's just on its own. It does that, and I don't know
it
how
was
to
a good
fix
pick.
It.
Yeah. At least it's not playing terrible songs.
But, yeah, good job, iPad.
I love Prodigy. He has the best opening lines ever.
That's all it takes.
It is all it takes. Like, he can follow through on that, but Prodigy's opening lines on every song, that is when I started really, really understanding how to write. He was my kind of inspiration for being like, when you kick off a song, like, you got to walk in the door and be like, this is what's happening. This is it. This mm-hmm. is it. This is what's happening now. And he's a master at doing that.
He was one of our first interviews.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was great. He was really great.
Was he better than me?
No.
Okay.
He also wrote a book.
This is true.
And he really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And he like is like, she said she ghost wrote it. Bullshit. Look, there's a misspelling. I wrote that.
I got to get that book.
I really like it. It's a fast read. And he's a funny guy. You couldn't always tell from his song, but he's a funny guy.
I met him for the first time, which seems weird. Like, we should have met
really,
before
really
that.
It really does.
Probably, like, last year. And then I was very very geeked out, very rap fan geeked out. I was like, oh, it's really nice to meet you. Such a man. And I walked away. I was like, why? I don't even sound like that. Why would I talk like that? Now he thinks I'm retarded. Okay. Sorry.
Who else did you, like, love, and, like, take inspiration from when you were first starting out? Was it all New York?
No. It was everything. I just like writers in general.
Mm-hmm.
Just people who are willing to kind of just do something different. But, I really did listen to a lot of Mobb Deep. Never really listened to a lot of Tribe albums. Just not very good. Just not very good. You know? Just wish they tried harder. Musically and lyrically. Just really try to make a mark. You know? Make something soulful.
Mm.
And I felt like they were lacking in that department.
So you're moving into the criticism field.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah. How do you feel about that? About what? About my comments? What was it really that that stopped you guys from being legendary?
I love I love the harsh criticism. It makes me feel like what will happen in about maybe 55 minutes from now, me just finding a window in this good building, no one will care what happens with me in that window and finding me on the street.
That's terrible.
But, you know.
That's horrible. Also, again, like I was saying, I don't think you guys aimed high enough. Why don't you do more of a roof situation? Just aiming low at the window.
Yeah.
You guys just never tried.
I thought you were going to say try again. Get back together, give it another shot.
Maybe.
Like, really
maybe.
Focus this time.
You know, the dose of real is what I need.
Just, you guys got to try. At least try is what I always thought when I would listen to the albums. I wish they would just at least try.
You know. Just kids who don't have much.
That's not really an excuse.
What are you talking about? Like, what do you expect when you put Brooklyn and Queens together?
Well, that was a terrible idea from the get-go.
Yeah.
I also thought that. I was like, what? Why would they? Didn't make any sense.
It's a requiem for failure.
Shit. Mojave rock, got polyglot to molly wop you till your body pop. I'm never sick when my temperature drop is 7 up. 1056, hell, praise the rock. I ain't a savior, just your neighbor like Amazing Peter. Minus the spider bite, the webs of aunt and uncle neither. Save the reasoning, the need to tuck the dynamite to even up the non-believers. Humble season was cool, sure. Now I'm seeing North Shore faces and y'all sure. Turn around and walk 4 paces, I walk 4 5. Y'all 86 in all cases. I'm the figure 8 sideways, always ageless. Y'all in the club, aimless, blind, spade shit. My time is space mix, record a rhyme on spaceships. You way behind like you caught a ride on a slave ship. I'm the modern anomaly, breezing, Amelie, faceless. Represent the basement, raised up, cageless, limitless, reminiscent of rapists. Boundaries, got none. Rock, paper, shotgun. Octung, baby, not an ADD 80s, baby, I'm not from. Rated G catering errors. I was the type of New Yorker rhyming the night in the park and hiding the knife in the hair. And even though mama was careful, I would be fighting so often, finding the
So, but although we've known each other for a while.
Yeah.
But, like, this is still crazy. This is still crazy. This is so crazy.
What's so crazy
like,
about
it's
it?
It's you. That's
what are you
crazy.
Talking about, Jean?
I still get text messages. And I'm like drunk with my friends. I'm like, yo, Ali G, mama just texted me, you guys. And they're like, yeah, Franny, you've been working with him for like 4 years. Like, no, but like still.
But still.
You are silly.
But still.
I tried not to text you at like 2 a.m. I'm like, Ali, you got to keep it professional. It's like, I have ideas. I'm like, it's 2 a.m. where Franny is right now. Chill. Or even 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh, man, it's 8 o'clock.
She's, that's adorable.
I'm like, she's. Work is over. I don't know what time you leave the office, but in my mind, I'm like, 8 o'clock is just a violation. So I'm like,
oh. I text him late night all the time. I don't know what he's
talking about. Fran is like, well, I don't have the same kind of consideration for your life. But no, it's true. Like, I have people in my phone, and then I'm like, yeah, I know I'm friends with them, and I know them. But still, like, I see your name pop up. I'm like, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. This is still so cool. Is still so cool.
I always smile inside when I see you. Like, if I'm DJing somewhere and I see you.
This is like the nicest interview ever.
And I see you in a building, I just warm up inside. I'm like, there's Gene.
Oh, man.
So I think you're amazing.
I think you're amazing.
So.
Yeah, it was the rest of the group. It was.
Thank you.
Yeah. Somebody finally said it.
It was mainly Jerobe.
It's going to be downloadable.
Jerobe was really the downfall. I'm going to tell him I said that.
But that's what happened. I think 364 days ago, mm-hmm. is that you walked out of a studio and I ran up on you.
I remember.
And I don't know, you mean a lot
to
me.
Oh, that was, I really need to eat something.
As a lady, oh, please. Oh. I can hear myself, my stomach, way better than you guys because these headphones, it's late.
Oh, but I'm sorry, continue.
Nobody ever wants to talk about women in rap.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. you are an inspiration for me.
Oh, man.
And I also look forward to everything that you put out. And then everything you put out, there's something on there that surprises me. And like I said before, like hits me right where I am.
Yeah.
We're like not that far off in age. Mm-hmm. But so maybe that has something to do with it. But it's more about like really, and also I think that I ran out of fucks about the same time.
Okay.
And so I could, I just felt where you were going, and it like makes me more excited for everything.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think there's especially a lot for the fact that I you know, there was a time where I was recording songs and I had a rule about especially love songs and relationship songs that I would do, mm-hmm. that I would wait 2 years to be able to get it together in my head, to be able to write it out, to tell the story correctly. Mm. And so that has changed. Couldn't possibly go further than I am writing things in real time. Like, and because I'm putting out albums in real time, like the week something is happening, that's like the day. If I had a fight, that song comes out like tomorrow. So it's actually happening all in real time.
Yeah, fuck Taylor Swift.
That's what's happening. Yeah, she's fun.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
She's fun. But thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I also think there's me being able to do that has not just changed though, just the way I'm putting out music and having a connection with people, even show-wise. Like, it's totally different. And there's a very emotional connection that happens. And I'm like, it's not just for me. It's for you guys.
Mm. Yeah.
So we all need to be in this space together. So thank you for letting me know that that's working. That makes all the sense, because otherwise I'll stop and do something else.
Well, when you...
Please don't.
Please, I know, right?
Don't move to L.A. and, like, end up on a sitcom.
Oh, I just did. I actually just did.
Do. I'm
Wait,
like, please
really?
Do.
I was just on an episode of Two Broke Girls.
Oh, that's
which
right.
was the last time I was
I knew
out
that.
In L.A. So, yeah, and actually... started doing Life with Jeannie, and it was just entirely too much to do with everything else on my plate. And I was like,
you
I can't.
Stopped.
We stopped, and we are, I guess, revamping it in a bigger and better way.
Dope.
So I will actually have to, I mean, I have to be in New York to be doing that. So hopefully that'll be going on for the rest of the year.
Mm. Do you, do you really, when you're creating, you think about a target person or a group of people that you want?
It depends what it is.
Okay.
Definitely depends what it is. Working on something like Life with Jeannie, I think, you know, there's ways that you have to write and be smart about things. Or even we just put on Ghostbusters 2.5, the sequels, at Union Hall, which... a friend of mine who started booking at Union Hall was like, you can have a night, and just take a night right now. She was like, just think of anything to do. So, of course, I was like, well, I could have done anything. I could have done anything. I could have just showed up and done some songs. And clearly I was like, oh, you know what sounds like a good idea? In 4 days, let's sit down and pretty much write a one-hour play. But why? But it sold out. And it was amazing. And so we're starting to do this thing called the sequels. We're doing Goonies 2 and then Warriors the Musical next.
Jackets! There they are!
Yes. But yeah, the idea of that and thinking, you know, yes, I could have done anything there, but what's really actually going to pull people in? So, okay, Ghostbusters 3 is about to come out, so people are definitely talking about that. Let's see what area of the city we're talking about, and it's Union Hall. Like, what would you pick that would draw people from
parks.
That crowd. What do you know? It's, yeah, of course. You know Ghostbusters. You want to go see that. So even if you don't know me, you're already like, well, that sounds interesting and ridiculous. Let me go see it. So in certain things, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of it I just do because I'm like, that seems like a really good idea. But I'm never not. If I would quit all of the other things I was doing, my dream job would always have been, my other dream job would be to go into marketing and advertising because I really like coming up with new ways to sell.
You can, how about you be our marketer?
I can do that.
Right?
Do you want that? Do you need that?
Microphone check needs some help.
All right, I got some ideas. I never run out of ideas. Oh, this is going to be rude. You know who Count Basie is? Yeah, yep. You do. So, because I said never running out of ideas, so maybe about like 4 or 5 years ago on Twitter, I think he DM'd me. He was like, and I was writing maikus, which were haikus, but with Michael Jackson lyrics. So I was doing a bunch of them. And he was like, man, like maybe like don't give everybody everything. Like, you know, you got to keep some of those ideas. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't run out of ideas. It's like, it doesn't stop. I'm sorry, maybe you do. He ended up making a long YouTube apology to me. I was kind of like, well, you really went really far with that. Maybe you should just worry about your own ideas and stop worrying what I'm doing. That was weird.
I liked it. So you make things for people sometimes, I mean, because you want them to work and have people feel them. I mean, you also, obviously, you also, like, you want people to be better, to do better, and you get mad when people are dumb and lazy. Why do you keep helping people?
So I don't kill them.
Okay.
Jay-Z said it, and he was saying it in a different way, but it really is a full-time job not to kill niggas. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like all the time. I think that there's a lot of, hey, just let it go and, you know, let people be stupid and let it be okay. And I'm like, no, I mean, we don't have to. There's a choice. Now, if you go through all that stuff and you attempt to learn, and okay, that's fine, but you got to try. Try to do better? No? Or, you know, just even, I just want us to be smarter. And I think it's possible, and I think it's far, far easier to be smarter in this day and time, which makes absolutely no sense. I don't know how how intelligence is decreasing with access to knowledge all the time. That's insane. That's insane. So, you know, I'm not a political activist. But I do feel like I have some sort of platform. Mm-hmm. So I have to use it. I do have a responsibility to myself to not end up in jail for murdering someone who does something stupid.
That was the only thing that ever got me to like go to the gym. It was like, I'm actually gonna murder you if I don't burn all of this off right now. And then I had to start going like a lot.
See? And then everything
I didn't
works
leave
out for the
DC.
Better.
Yeah. Just leave that whole city.
So you didn't burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
I think people can help, and I think people are better than they know, and I also think people don't get to hear that a lot because we're in such a time where everyone is so mean. They're just so mean about everything, and I feel like I gotta say something about everything and comment on it. Like same album, That's Not How You Do That either. The song "You Don't Have to Eat What's in the Picture."
Love that.
Which is, I'm posting a picture of. Yes, it was something I enjoyed. Why are you saying ew?
Yeah.
Because just don't say anything.
Yeah.
Like nobody's gonna force you to have that.
Yeah.
But I think just putting these things across, and I respond to people who do that all the time, and then they'll be like, well, sorry. And I'm like, yeah, you just, just don't. Just golden rule it. Just try to golden rule it out.
That's the weirdest part about the meanness and, like, commenters in particular, that, like, if you just check them, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, has no one ever checked you before?
No.
Well, yeah.
No. A lot of times, no. Maybe in off the internet situations, but not necessarily. A lot of people don't get checked, or they get checked in a way that doesn't really help the situation at all. It's just combative,
that
and it feels like an attack. But there's another way to do it.
Today's tale takes place in a small little town called New York City. So tiny, if you blink, you might just miss it. But I digress. How about you go sit on back, and I'll play you a little tune while my good buddy Gene here sings you a song. Heck, you may just learn a thing or two.
It was cold as a witch's tip that wind today.
Oh, shit.
When I texted my friend, said I'm on the way. We had planned to move downtown to break some bread. It was Anna, Fern, and Marianne on the thread. Well, we sat and laughed and ate and drank and hung around for hours. Stayed till after closing, then we broke out our guitars. So full of life and love, the music, bourbon, and food. Took so many pictures, not to share them would be rude. Woke up down near sunset the next day. Charged my phone. All pictures right away.
Instagram.
I was so happy we could share a night out on the town. So I cropped them, filtered them, tilt-shifted them down.
Nice.
And then posted a caption that read, we knew. And please be a normal person, don't comment negative. We had such a great time, and then I put the name of the restaurant. And then, so you guys can have a similar experience if you want.
You're welcome.
110 people posted likes. And Marianne, Vern, and Anna all reposted thrice. But then some stupid dick who doesn't know how to read.
Just
typed four roses of garbage. You, I have to leave. That you don't have to drink what's in the picture. Representation of my time. Unless you get your nutrients from other people's lives, you don't have to drink what's in the picture. And you don't have to eat what's in the picture.
I'm trying to find, right? I'm trying to find that balance. I don't know.
It's hard.
It is hard, because I'd rather just say, yo, this is where I am, come.
Yeah, no, it's a lot easier.
I'll just like, maybe you just don't understand, and it's not gonna, there won't be any understanding in 140 characters, even if this is a 2-hour conversation out. I'm like, let's just.
I used to be a different person.
Just come here.
Do you mean in the sense
of like, I'm gonna ignore you until you get on my level, in the sense of like Badu turning on her location.
Like that, because
that was
like,
great.
I don't think
that.
I think sometimes when people say like crazy things to me, like they don't know me.
And right.
Yes.
And so I'm like, I don't have anything to prove here, and I don't do things for the whole world to see. So it's just like, you know what? Like, I try to address you in a way that leaves it open for you to really feed from the good I'm trying to give you in your reply by not being ignorant in the response. But it's just like, wow, you still don't get it, and you coming at me. It's like, I don't, come here. It's coming. You could come here, and it can be a real good conversation. You could come here, and then you'll be like, no one will ever know why you're bloody and blue. But
yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah.
I try as
You have like a good sense of humor, though. Like you come back with
because I have to try really hard.
The funny gene
again.
Gene.
You want to get the funny gene.
Can you give me the funny gene you don't want. No, like can you? I need a funny gene and like.
Oh, a funny gene.
Funny
gene.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm being funny gene. What? I don't understand what she's saying. Everybody's
gonna be our marketer. She's gonna train us.
Yeah, I am. It's fine. I am. And you know, if anything goes wrong, then I am also I like to be the muscle as well, because I don't have, I have no levels. That's my thing. Like, I know that I have no levels. Like, I have this, and I can talk to you calmly and be like, listen, I really want you to stop doing that. And then there's another level. That's it. There's only two things.
Same with me.
Yeah. So I think we can really take this marketing thing by storm, basically because people will be afraid. It won't even be good. We'll just... It's just mainly a lot of fights.
On public radio.
I know, that's what makes it even better. And because it's NPR, you got to use your NPR voice. Everything is always...
Left hand only.
Oh, man, NPR serial killer would be the best. Would be the best. Because it's so calm.
That's not BDK?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
You know, you're moving to L.A., and if Franny gets to L.A., maybe you can come on microphone check a little bit more and be like a third dynamic of what we're doing.
I would love to do that.
Do you want to stay for our next interview, too? Just try it out.
Who is it?
I am Sue. I am Sue, young guy from the Bay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I mean, you work with, I got it. It's because I'm sick. Quelle Chris.
Yes.
It seems like he's going to pop pretty soon.
Yeah.
What do you think is that, like, almost everybody I talked to is like, that guy. What is it about him? Really?
Really, man? Well, for one thing, he doesn't turn on his iPad during interviews.
His iPad is
I've heard
haunted.
Some interviews he's done. It's the same
And then
song,
it won't
too.
Turn off either?
No, oh. I keep, like, you know, force quitting it. It force quits. And then
I've, really I've wants to hear that prodigy
I've restarted this thing. It's like, I don't get it.
This is like... I'm going to tweet him later and ask him why he kept trying to ruin my interview. Be like, what was that about? And he'd be like, what?
It's just,
I'd be like, why are you so rude?
This is how it, like, knowledge, the intelligence is not growing as our access to knowledge gets bigger. It's because, like, we can't actually work the devices that might transmit.
Yeah. They're going to take over. Quelle. Quelle is a wonderfully interesting story. I met... Quelle, and again, a great way to use the internet to meet people. This is what, it's social networking. A lot of people aren't networking at all. Satori, who I work with, who's kind of my acting manager at this time, was like, man, I really want to kind of bring him into War Media and let's get, wow.
Just turn it
Come
off.
On, man. Just turn it off.
No. Or like put your headphones in it.
Why didn't you do that before?
I don't know. I was just like, please.
Aren't you like a, this is what you do? You work with equipment all day and you just figured out to do that?
Sorry.
Oh my God.
I'll take that.
We also need an IT manager.
Yeah. No, I got it. I'm on it. Okay. So we met and I was not familiar with any of his stuff at all, but always had a huge connection with, I don't know what it is between Detroit and New York.
I know.
Especially, we just really like it. I think it's because we kind of have the same temperaments and we understand growing up in that
There's an aggression.
Kind of city. There is. Yeah. We will definitely murder people all the time. And I met him and I immediately was like, I get it. I know who you are. I see who you are, and it's so much more than this song that you're playing me. I was like, oh, you're like me. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, but what else do you do?
Right.
And then I found out that he did everything else. And I was like, oh man, okay. I think with him there's really a kind of beauty in the freedom of not, you know, also not kind of caring. And being like, I'll make whatever kind of music it is. If it's this punk song or if it's, you know, he's drawing all his own album covers and directing all of his own videos, and kind of the same feeling of not waiting and being like, I'm going to do this myself, and I don't have to be put in a category or a genre. I'm just going to do all of the things. So we've been working on a lot of stuff together. Or even the ability, you know, recording That's Not How You Do That, mm-hmm. for me to be like, do you have a song for this? And he sent back Wash Your Hands in about an hour. And I was like, okay, so you just did this right, okay. All right.
You like just did in this 20 right minutes? Now. Yeah. No way. That's no. crazy.
Yeah, the speed and versatility. I was like, I do know someone else. That's awesome. Yeah, he's pretty fucking brilliant.
The general public too much credit, but maybe we do have a better ear or eye than we think we do, because we mm-hmm. we can tell if something has, like, we can't necessarily vocalize it, but we can tell when something has been, like, focus grouped, yes. and when something just, like, makes sense all the way through. And it seems like now that we have more direct access to things that are just, like, here
we real. Have a better eye. We built pyramids and, you know, can take look at an empty space and see where things can be placed. You know,
we've had that
mathematically, but it's, scientifically.
It's been taken away from us. It's been taken away and been like, no, you guys don't know how to do that. You guys don't know how to recognize greatness. You guys don't know how to do things. And it's kind of putting people, you need to put people back in that space and being like, yes, you do.
Exactly.
You can do anything. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what's good. You don't need to pay me $10.99 a month
right.
to tell you
right.
what's hot.
Yeah.
To sift through the internet or whatever and, like, make
you a
recommendation. Because
it's so hard. So hard.
Like, fuck off. It's the same publicist emailing everybody.
Yeah, I don't need... But the also the thing is that there's a certain kind of sadness that comes along with, you know, being on this side of the curtain of, you know, you know there's no whiz.
Right.
It's not even Richard Pryor like that. At least that would be awesome. And the general mm-hmm. public, as much as you think that we're, you know, in contact, they still don't know.
Right.
They still don't know. They don't know that it's that, you know, the same publicist sending it. And this is why you think that is the cool thing. They still don't know.
Right.
And that's where it gets really difficult. And you're like, I don't understand why you guys don't know that that sucks.
Mm. Yeah.
Damn it.
But that's also part of the, like, having, like, people that you were a fan of when you were six in your phone,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like,
it is.
You know they're just a regular person.
Yeah.
But you, there's it's just hard to flush it out.
It is. It is. It happened to me in the rap world, and it always still happens to me in the rap world. but kind of moving into the comedy world, it's crazy. I went to Saturday Night Live for the first time the other night, and being in that room was like, okay, all right, okay, this is just, it's just the room I've wanted to be in all my life. So if this is my first step being here, my first step is not just being in the audience, and I get to hang out with my friend who's on the cast backstage. And I took a picture of my mom, and I put it in the ceiling.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, I'm just going to leave that there for when I come back. But she needs to stay here. But it's that, and then we ended up going to the after party. But we walk into the after party, and so ahead of me online is Eugene Merman. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? And he's like, Gene. And I was like, what? How? Okay. I don't understand how I know these people now. And walk downstairs, and it's Todd Barry. And Todd Barry's like, what's going on, Gene? What are you drinking? And I told him the last time that I saw him, I was like, you know what? It's really hard for me to talk to you because I'm freaking out of my mind the entire time I'm talking to you. Mm. I'm trying to do really well, but just so you know, and me saying this will probably make it a little bit better. But it doesn't. It doesn't.
You're like listening to yourself while you're talking.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That wasn't me name dropping. That was me trying to explain why I'm freaked out every day.
They're clear. Get clear.
Yeah. Thanks. So don't think that. don't write to me and say that, because I'll punch you.
Why Saturday Night Live? Like, when you were, did you talk to your mom about it? Did she love it?
It was what she would let us stay up late to watch. Mm-hmm. And she was a huge comedy fan. And so that was, you know, when you're a kid and you get put to sleep and you always feel like you're missing something. We're not missing anything. Nothing that you could actually do.
Right.
But it was the one time where she was like, no, it's fine. You can stay up and watch this because you have to, because you should.
So that's what my mom was like, but with ER.
ER.
She's like, because you should. You need to watch. Because I know how much you want to be a doctor.
Oh, fuck. Maybe that's what that was.
Oh, maybe. You know, no. It definitely was that. She's like, come on. Come on.
Disappointed your mom.
Look what you did.
Came to NPR.
Everybody already knows that. It's all right.
Got into hip hop and trying to.
We could think about a segment on medicine. Okay. Maybe.
Tell her you're trying to bring the medicine to the. I don't know. Trying
she
to find
see
it.
Right through
trying
that.
To spin this. What was the 8-9-year-old you like in school?
Oh man, I wanted to know that too.
8-9. So 9 is like junior high school.
Nah.
Yes.
It's like 4th grade.
No. I was 12 in my freshman year of high school.
Oh, what?
Wow. Well,
yeah.
Didn't know that.
I went to school early, and also my birthday's at the end of the year. Mm. So I was young and then which is also why they tried to skip me from like 3rd to 5th grade, which whatever, it's the same thing. And my mom was like, "No, cuz she's going to be 11 when she gets to high school." Yeah. Absolutely not. That's not good choice. Junior high school. I was really, I guess that would make my brother 15. I was really into whatever my brother was really into. I guess still kind of coming out of that thing and trying to figure out what kind of stuff I was going to be listening to. Mm-hmm. But he was super into Depeche Mode. So I was really into Depeche Mode, which was kind of weird because not a lot of my peers were talking about Depeche Mode. But shout out to Andrew O, who I have not seen since junior high school. But this Korean kid we found out we were both super into Depeche Mode. And that is the only time we ever talked in school because he was not very popular. And I wanted to be popular because I was 9.
Were you restless then, even then?
Not because I had a lot to do. I was dance like 7 days a week because that was going to be my life. I thought I was going to be a dancer. youngest member of Alvin Ailey, about to be second company. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be a dancer. This is it. Mm. And then most of my time was spent doing that.
So you were focused.
Yeah. I guess I was like busy, but I don't know. I always feel like there's a lot of hours in the day to do stuff. Mm. And then I may have started. No, I wasn't writing anything like that. I was learning a lot of dance routines. Push It was out. Spent a lot of time on that. You know, you spend a lot of time dancing to Push It. That was a really good routine. Really inappropriate for my age, but that's how you win a talent show. We did not win, by the way. It was not my fault. It was Ingrid's fault.
What did she do? Was she Spinderella and she just like didn't face?
She was salt, which, let me say this, I should have clearly been salt. Yeah. But that's all I'm saying. Okay. Damn it, Ingrid.
Sorry, I just hear that song title now. I just keep thinking of the Geico commercial.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I can't help it.
It's pretty clever, that commercial.
Wait, which one is this?
Geico with Salt and Pepper doing Push It.
I haven't seen it.
The guy's like, I'm pushing it.
I don't know what it has to do with Geico, but it's like they're by the door and it's like, push it, don't pull it. Like the guy tries to pull it and they're like, push it. And there's like a lawnmower situation.
So they stole my
lawnmower situation.
They stole my idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a handle means pull.
Right.
Well, speaking of that, how old is that song? That song is easily
27 years
old, maybe. Maybe 20, not that old. Yeah.
Is it 89? Or?
So like 25?
No, wait, I'm 38. So that would be like just like 29 years old?
Yeah.
What? Okay, I'm sorry. Mind blown. What?
So
someone who was born when Pusha is now 29. Oh my God, I'm so old.
Well, not even from that perspective, just in the sense that your art will live on. Your art will outlive you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're not dead, Ali.
No, I'm not even saying it like that. Okay, the question I'm trying to get to is, yes, which of your creations, your art, that you are, you know, whatever, 50, 25 years later, you'll be most proud of?
I don't know if I'll be able to separate that, be most proud of. I'm going to start to work on my first feature film next year. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely the thing when I started writing it out and I sent it to a couple of friends, I'm happy about a lot of things that I write. I was like, but this one, I was like, that's the one.
Okay.
That's the thing.
I asked that because, I mean, we're talking about Push It and we, next month, Tribe will be 25 years old as a group. And you don't think about those sort of things when you're making records at 18, 19. And that it actually will, it could be, there could be a huge spotlight on it, you know, where a mass of people, not just a few people, not just your mom, your grandparents, like,
but gotcha.
But really just like the world is still watching you. And, you know, I think you dream about making an impact.
Yeah.
But you don't know what will happen. And so now being in that moment,
what does that feel like?
It's very strange.
I meant it in that voice too.
It's strange because, well, one thing, I feel good because I know that I'm not embarrassed about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know certain people who have certain songs and they know they wish they didn't make that song.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. And so I feel good about that, knowing, like, play it for your kids. Someone was just telling me, my 6-year-old knows all your music. Here's video of them singing.
That's so beautiful.
And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. You know, and I think about listening to Stevie Wonder and all the stuff that I grew up listening to, and meeting him for the first time, it was just like, oh my God, your music meant so much. So I'm just wondering, you're still, you know, freshly, you, as you say, you know, you don't run out of ideas. So, and not thinking about that when you're making it, but now with that as a possibility, you know, what are you thinking about when you're making the now stuff, knowing that that could be, not even could be, it will be,
reality? Yeah, I think it's the same way that I want to live, though, just in general. Like, it's not just about putting anything out. It's, you know, who I want to be, and I don't want to look back next year and be like, man, I really regret doing that. Mm-hmm. I never want to look back and say that I have regrets about doing that, or I'm ashamed of something that happened. And it's pretty much exactly the same way. So if I am really, really just doing my best as a person, as a musician, as a writer, doing, you know, the best that I can do at that moment, then I have to be proud of everything. I'd be like, man, I'm proud that I was a far better person this year than I was the year before, or even that I knew I could be. And I think that's the way I look at creating things too. Like, you'll finish it and be like, man, that is far better than I thought it was gonna be. Mm-hmm. So I think just, If you do both of those things at the same time, you can't really mess it up.
That stuff isn't working, whatever she sprayed on you.
Oil of oregano?
Clove thing, too.
Oh, yeah, that oil of oregano really lingers.
Really? I just don't, my eye's just spazzing out.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I've got it together now.
Is this where the zombie apocalypse is?
I know, right?
Cause because I was you ever played The Last of Us? I don't know if you guys are into video. Oh my God, it's so crazy. So I was watching this. I was watching the game being played because I was like, I don't have time to do that, and I have to write an article. So I'll just watch it. So now you're freaking me out. And we're also in a closed room, and it was spread
really
through,
sorry.
Like. Yeah, people have to wear like masks and stuff.
I'm not.
Do you
touch
feel
anything.
Like? Do you feel like you want to eat people?
I'm hungry. That's for me.
Yeah. Okay.
I only.
Do you think that I look delicious?
Do you like tasty?
Just tell me. Just be honest. Okay. I hope this is not where it starts.
Yeah, I can't be patient zero. I don't want to go out like that. Also, the patient zero never really, like, they never really figure out who it is.
No, because, well, this would be good. They could put this on the air.
It's recorded.
And then we would know. Not that it would help, because we'd be dead.
Yeah. I did want to just ask one more thing and before we're done, but it's kind of related to, like, maybe the fact that a member of the media will poison you and begin the zombie apocalypse. So, apologies. But, like, you know, we're pretty bad 99% of the time. And I know that, you know, historically, like, you know, you have had interactions with people where you weren't pleased about their work. Do we serve any function to help either in your work or in this sort of light, or what's the word, this light touch educating of the public?
Yeah, no, absolutely. People who should, you know, have access to those things. You know, the only problem is that everybody has access to those things. You know, the same way that there's everybody's a music journalist now.
Right.
Which is weird, because no, you're not. That's not how that works.
There should be a test.
There should be a test. Same way there should be a test for parenting.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. You don't just do that because you walk in and say you do that. And my analogy,
or because you like music,
or because you like it. Like, you don't walk into the Philharmonic and you, with the violin on stage, you're like, I love this. I'm in the band. You're like, first off, it's not a band. stop calling us that. And no, you don't. You don't know how to play the violin. That is not what you do.
Right.
I don't know. People who are great at it, there is an absolute need for it, and there's a way to convey things that artists don't necessarily, that either can't or don't have access to. It's when it's done correctly, when it's, you know, we can sit around and have a great conversation about music and life and other things, then it makes sense. And it has definitely helped me conjunction with the internet at the same time, where I was just, I think this was the restless part too, where it just got pegged as female backpack MC and there was nothing I could do about it. And the only way to get people out of that would be to have them at shows. You can't go to everyone's house and be like, no, that's not it. You don't get it. It's so much more than that. So when it's done correctly, yes. It's, you know, educational. It allows artists to really kind of explain. It introduces new people to new things. Absolutely. You know, the only problem is, you know, that it's a business that's flooded because of the advances of technology, which is great because it gives people opportunities who wouldn't have had them. But then you also get the crap. And you guys just have to be way better all the time.
Mm. We're okay with that.
Yeah, no, you're doing pretty good.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
We just need the bread, man.
You do. You do.
He's not joking at all.
I'm like.
You do. That is important. That's important. And maybe.
Keeping some of my.
What?
My friends with the, you know, kind of feeling of, yo, let me just go talk to them, kind of, you know, that kind of, those kind of friends.
Yeah.
Trying to keep them at bay is not always easy.
Right.
The kind that, just like, shaking things up and down. Where's the money? You know, those kind of friends.
I feel like that every day. I feel like that. I feel like I want to go to everyone's house. There's Jay and Silent Bob, where they read all the movie reviews and then they go to everybody's house and they're like, are you Wizard 69? He's like, yeah. And you punch them directly in the face. Like, I want to do that, but I want to take everyone's money. I don't understand why every week I got to threaten people and come up with new marketing ideas in order for them to buy albums. Mm-hmm. What's your problem? It's $5. Oh, by the way, it's not $5 anymore. Everything was on a $5 sale this past weekend, except for the book, which I made $500.
Was it really $500?
Yeah, it's $500.
And then $500. It went to $1,000?
It's $500 now. This weekend, I'm changing everything to $1,000, and then in increments of $1,000 until everything's $1,000,000.
And
people
that.
Are going to be like, but why? I'm be like, what do you care? You're not going to buy it anyway. So what's the point? Why didn't you buy it when it was $5?
Yeah.
Wait, but what's that guy in the, he's from L.A.?
Nipsey?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot keep his name straight in my head. I can even, like, see the gangster Nipsey House, but I can't, like.
Just call him something else. Just call him Jeff or something.
Okay.
Just keep changing his
name.
That
L.A. guy with the ill-fitting fur.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's a little long.
Damn it.
It's okay. Am I really going to stay for the other interview?
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
But thank you, thank you.
It's snowing.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. It is.
Again, L.A.
Booking my ticket right
now. Oh, man.
Let's just talk again in 3 months when we all live in L.A.
Yeah, so you're coming too?
Yeah, I'm trying to fight it and it's not working.
Just give up.
Yeah.
You're not strong enough.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not strong enough. It's not a diss. It's just being like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live. I want to enjoy living. New York is surviving. at this point. It's not okay.
It is. True. And as a New Yorker, it's you don't ever want to see that. It's like everyone wants to live in New York. You mm-hmm. know, the cliche slogan, if anyone can make it here, you can make it anywhere, and that's true. But and it's I don't know if it's just because I was born here and, you know, I'm several generations New Yorker. And so I don't know if it was just an egotistical thing mm-hmm. or what, but I really love this city. And
yeah.
and being in many places in the world, and specifically America, there is no city like New York.
But, absolutely not.
But then it is, you are surviving, and it's just like, you don't have to live. That's not living.
You don't have to live this way, you guys. And when, have to do this.
There was this, the beautiful thing about me driving from New York to L.A., people wanted to go with me and drive. I was like, nah, I got to do this on my own, spiritual, you know. Mm-hmm. And some people understood, some people didn't, but it wasn't really till I got, like, past Oklahoma, which was boring.
It's Oklahoma, man.
I know. And I got to New Mexico, and I started really looking around at how great the Creator is for just putting everything here. And it's tangible and it's reachable.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, man, you know, you could just, like, go look wherever. It's so far, you couldn't even see land was that far. I was like, you can just go right there and be like, I want to buy this little piece of land. It probably yeah. cost me, like, $20,000. I could build my crib there. I have my family yeah. and my family's family and then extend it. And it's like, $20,000, you have gardens, everything.
Man.
And you can be the happiest little person, like,
you
in this little
can.
Corner versus, like, being way over there and you killing yourself to try and just do what? Like, survive, you know, find something in existence to say yeah. I'm happy. Yeah. And so that was the one of the, like, best things that I experienced in the drive. And then I landed in L.A. I was like, all right, well, now I got to do everything to help me get back to that little space. I will say your music will be good in L.A. I was yeah. sick the first week I got there. I felt like New York City was purging from my system in a sense because I just was just so sick I couldn't move. But then I wrote like 5 of the best songs I've ever written right
good.
After just being in that space. So I think you being there is will only enhance what's already there.
I just want to, I need a garden. I need to grow things. I need to walk outside and pick a damn tomato and some basil and go cook it in my own kitchen that I can keep the window open and there's a tree there. Mm-hmm. It sounds like something really small. It's really small. Yeah. But even just to be, you know, say that about having an outdoor space in New York, like I did find one, but yeah, I'm also in the middle of Bushwick. I don't want to be outdoors there. That's at nighttime. No, thank you. Yeah, it's just you gotta find some place to make it happy. And I think New Yorkers over romanticize mm-hmm. what this place is. And it's not about the city or any of that. It's, you know, where you are, and mm-hmm. you take yourself everywhere. Wherever you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. So it'll be fine. It'll be great.
It'll be great. Holla when you get there.
I will. You start looking for a place.
Too. I'm still the introvert I was being here, but still.
Let's just throw a party.
It's all right. I cook a lot. I do a lot of
that's awesome because I do absolutely no cooking.
That's what I do the most. I cook the most. So, yeah, come over for dinner.
Done.
It'll be great.
Thank you, Gene.
I will thank him when I see him. Thank you, guys. That was great.